Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. And yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, a child hides under the covers to avoid the ghostly presence that appear in her room night after night. What is it and what does it want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can support our program, keep us on the air, and get a whole bunch of extras for doing just that. You sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, commercial free. You also get our ebook, our audiobook, all sorts of extras there for your support. And we thank you greatly for that. If you want to do an annual membership, you'll get 1 month free as well. So both places now offer annuals. Ghostpodcast.com, if that's the platform you prefer, or if you like Patreon, another great one, patreon.com/realghoststories. is where you sign up for that. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again for another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online as we are midway into January of 2021. Hi, everybody. How are you?
God, I hope 2021's better than 2020.
I have no idea what's going on in 2021 as we record this roughly a month before it airs. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. It says, my name is Courtney. I've wanted to write in my stories for a while now, and I decided to say, screw it, and just do it. Ha ha. So, all my life, I've been involved in the paranormal, and both my mother and I are sensitive to these things. I have tons of stories, but I will only tell the main ones. But even then, it might be long. Sorry about that. So the first story takes place when I was young, around the age of 5 or so. I remember I fell asleep in the car on the way home with my mom. The house we lived in was 2 stories with a kitchen and living room downstairs connected with a hall and the stairs in the living room. My room was upstairs, yet I have no memory of ever being up there, but I can recall the downstairs in perfect detail. Anyways, as I have been saying, I fell asleep. My mother carried me inside and laid me down on the couch facing the wall to sleep. At one point, I woke up in absolute fear, and the only thing I could think of was do not turn around. I felt like something was right behind me, and I had the prickling feeling you get when you know something is staring at you. I remember closing my eyes and pretending to sleep until I eventually did fall back asleep. When I woke up later, everything was back to normal. Next story. This takes place in the same house. My mother and I were in the living room, and we were sitting in a lounge chair, and I was in her lap. I remember we were laughing and just messing around with each other. Then the next morning, I knew I was airborne and landed on the floor in front of my mom. Looking up at my mom, all confused, as she looked back just as confused. "Why are you on the floor?" my mom asked. I countered with, "Why'd you push me?" My mom went on to say she did not push me. She could not remember that she suddenly shoved me off her onto the ground. Afterwards, I just climbed back onto my mom and we kept playing. But thanks, something slightly took over my mom for a second. Next story. This again involves the same house. As I said, the living room is connected to the kitchen through a small hall. And in the kitchen, we had a back door, and it was one of those old swinging screen doors in front of the rear door. Anyway, this one was told to us by a friend of the family who had a key to the house and came over when no one was home. He decided to sit in the living room and wait for us to come home. Sitting there, he suddenly heard the back door slam. He thought we were home and called out for us, but there was no answer. And instead, he started hearing the cabinet slamming in the kitchen. He got up and went to investigate and noticed the back door was closed and that no one was in the kitchen. He turned toward the hall and saw two red eyes staring back at him. He booked it the hell out of there and refused to ever come back into our house while we lived there. We moved out of there and some people needed to move in after us. After a few months of them living there, the house burnt down and they could not find a cause for the fire. Next story, we lived in a house that was part of the huge building that used to be a store, but they transformed it into a bunch of homes. It always felt weird being there. My siblings would say that they would see people on the roof, but when they went up, there would be no one there. Also in this house, my parents and my sisters and I went to the store while my brother stayed home to play games in the living room. When we came back, my brothers were all outside and were refusing to go back in without us. They proceeded to tell us that while they were playing, they had heard footsteps and then saw their beanbag sink as if someone was sitting there. Whatever it was, then got up and walked towards our parents' room where the door was open and there was a clear view of their bed. They said they saw an imprint or a sort of outline of a body sink into the bed. At that point, all my brothers bolted from the house and waited outside in the cold night and waited for us to get home. I know there's a lot here, and these are only the main ones, sorry. We were in another two-story house. I was around 10 years old at this point. The layout of the house, our bathroom, was at the back of the house with a back door that leads to our yard. Connected to that hall was our kitchen that opened into the dining room. And then, through there was the living room. Next to the living room was a small room that we used as my toy room. It had no door, and you could see directly in there from the living room. The stairs that went up to our rooms were also in the living room. While we lived there, we would hear something or someone walking up the steps, but no one would be there. Or one time, I once again felt something staring at me when I woke up one night, and I refused to turn around. But one time, one of my sisters and I were in the living room and heard my toys go off in my toy room. The lights were off and we could not see in. It was completely pitch black in the room. The toy that was going off used to say something dumb, coffee, tea, or me, something like that in a female voice. It's one of those old toys that used to be my grandparents, and it was one of those ball toys that you hit lightly, and it made a noise to talk. This one, though, is so old you had to basically punch it to get it to talk. So my sister and I were freaking out. How is it going off? And yet, about a second or third time, it went off. My sister built up the balls and bolted in there and grabbed the toy. From there, we proceeded to destroy the damn thing and throw it away. Next story, the same house as this last one. This one is crazy. Once a week, my family would all crowd into the living room and watch some ghost hunting show or something fun to do. And afterwards, my brothers got the bright idea to contact the spirit in our house. They got a simple deck of playing cards and told the spirit that a red card means yes and a black means no. They begin asking simple questions that everyone does. Are you evil? No. Are you nice? Yes. As soon as we started asking questions, our black lab ran to the back door and began non-stop barking. We asked if the dog was barking because of them. Yes, was the answer. We asked, can you make the dog stop? Yes. Immediately, the dog yelped and everything went quiet. We asked if it was them. Yes. Did you hurt the dog? Yes. Did you do it on purpose? No. Can you let the dog keep barking? Yes. Immediately, the dog began barking once again. The brother proceeded to freak out with some choice words and threw the cards and ended with, fuck that. This one is not necessarily an interaction with a ghost, but something I dreamt that I cannot really explain. So backstory, my mother passed away when I was 13 in front of my eldest sister and me, and due to that, I would have sometimes bad and sometimes good dreams about my mom after later I learned I had PTSD from seeing my mom die. But years later, when I was around 22 years old, I had not dreamt of my mom in a while. The house I was in was next to a field, and some field mice had gotten into our walls, and before we were able to get rid of them, I could hear them very clearly in my room scratching around. So back to the dream, I had a dream that I woke up because I could not hear the mice running around and they were keeping me up, mentally begging it to stop so I could go back to sleep, when it suddenly did stop. But then the door across from my bed opened and my mom walked in. Except it was the decayed version of my mom. Her jaw was all messed up. Think Jim Carrey's version of A Christmas Carol when the dead partner comes to visit and his jaw pops out and it's barely hanging there. That's what my mom looked like. Her tongue was also hanging too far out of her mouth and she could not talk. She was holding up a decapitated body with mice and blood all over her mouth. She was showing me that she had made it stop. Now, I am in the dream. I'm not scared at all. I felt nothing but calm and peace, and even remembered being annoyed in a dream like, "Get out, Mom, I'm trying to sleep." When I woke up after, I remember thinking, "What the actual fuck was that? Did my mom come to visit me in my dream, or my brain making something up of the noises the mice were making? I don't know." This is one that's not really a story, but something I experience every day that I do not know what it is. Usually when I'm turning a corner or going down or up any stairs, I get a vision of some sort of a demon-like creature attack me or drag me. It's never the same entity either. It's almost like I'm subconsciously expecting something to happen, or maybe something is trying to make its way into my mind. I'm not sure. Your thoughts would be welcome. That's all I'll tell for now. Although I have some funny ones with my grandpa that I could tell, I'll save them for later. Sorry it's so long, but I hope you enjoy them. Sorry for any typos. Thanks for reading. I love the podcast, and I binge them as I have discovered it. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, a little bit of business. Want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. This is an awesome, awesome game. You can download it free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. What do I love about this thing? I guess the question is more like, what's not to love about this thing? It's kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. It really is. If I kind of just want to take a mind break, an escape from either work or life or whatever, and just kind of, you know, kind of exercise your brain a bit, but not, you know, stress your brain a bit. That's what it is to me. What I love about this thing is that you can just kind of dive into it. And then if you got to do something else, you can dive out of it and come right back. And you're never going to get bored. It's a puzzle game. It's a match three puzzle game like no other. Literally thousands of levels and new content added all the time. I've been playing it for more than a year now. And it's great. You can change your levels. Of course, you upgrade, you keep going through the game and you get higher and higher and higher. And there's always new levels. There's new characters. There's new things that they're always adding to this thing. So it's not like, okay, same thing I've been playing forever. No, it's always evolving and always changing. Over 100 million downloads out there. 5-star rated most mobile puzzle game. It is certainly a must play. There's more levels, events, challenges. They get added all the time, like I said. So there's always something else to play on this thing. It's so much fun. It means you don't have to choose between binging and boredom. Check it out for yourself today. If you're looking for a new game on your phone, something to challenge yourself, you're going to love this thing. It's Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Again, download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
I think the hard thing to know here is with as many locations and as many different spirits that are involved, is it the same spirit just changing forms? Or are they super sensitive and every place they go, they're picking up on whatever is there?
Expound upon that more.
Well, meaning that are they haunted or is something following them?
Okay.
Or are they just a basically a radar for ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just picking up anything that's out there that's coming to them.
I would go that there's a level of sensitivity there within the confines of that family as a whole, where they're all sensitive.
Sure.
To an extent that's greater than the norm. And that this is kind of a norm for their family. And that's how they're able to pick up on all these things. That's why from house to house and place to place, it doesn't stop. Because I think these things are really probably everywhere. It's just a matter of some are louder than others, if you will, where others may be able to pick up upon them if they're not super sensitive to them. But those who are super sensitive can pick up onto them even when they're at a much lower volume, if you will. That would be my take on it.
Okay. That makes sense.
So thank you for sharing all of those experiences with us. We do appreciate that and would love to hear your other stories as well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. A reminder, if you like the show, maybe you found us over Halloween season this last year and you're still with us, thank you. Obviously, you know, we go far beyond Halloween. We do it all year long. And what year are we going on to? Is this eight? Nine?
We're going into our eighth year.
Okay.
Because we started it when Harp was one.
So we're going into our eighth year of the show. So there's 8 years of EPP bonus episodes. We're into the 300s now. Some podcasts, their normal episodes are in the 300s. Mm-hmm. We have 300 bonus episodes exclusively for you. And if you want to support us and keep us on the air and get access to some of the best ghost stories that we have, please do check that out. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to a caller and hear a ghost story. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi, my name's Heather. I live in New Hampshire, and I was just calling in to tell a couple stories that basically correlate with one another or may. So my dad passed away due to a drowning accident, and he wanted to be cremated, which had happened, but he wanted all of his ashes to be put in this river because he fished this river his whole entire life. And that was his favorite thing to do was fish. So my uncle was in charge of basically what had happened. And so he put most, but not all of the ashes in the river. He gave, a few of the ashes out to like me, my dad's siblings, you know, things like that. So, all the ashes weren't put in the river. So I was at my mom's house that night. I'd found out in the morning, and it was that night, basically, not the night that he had died, but, you know, with the ashes and everything, was separated out, and then we had dumped it in the river and did like a ceremony. And so that night I was in my room with my dog, Marley. And all of a sudden, Marley was just growling at the door. I mean, just like insane, absolutely insane. So I'm like, okay, buddy, like calm down. There's nothing there. And all of a sudden I heard boots, like construction boots, like walking down a wood floor to my room. And my dad worked construction almost all of his life besides being a correction officer. And all of a sudden Marley stopped and then the door just flew open. And in my head, like, you know, I thought, okay, that's my dad. He's mad. He's pissed off. You know, things didn't go the way he wanted them to go. So that's kind of like the first story. I just recently moved into my own apartment, with my daughter. She's 2 years old, almost three in April. And ever since we've moved here, it's kind of been like a weird feeling. And, you know, I think in the back of my head, you know, the reason being is probably because like, it's just me and my daughter and it's scary being a woman on your own alone. You know what I mean? So it's always felt weird here. I remember just like always having to like, even when I showered, like I'd always have to leave the shower curtain open. Or like if she has a bath, I usually shut the door and lock the door. And I don't know, it's just kind of been like the type of thing that I've always done. And, you know, weird things started happening. You know, you could just feel it. Like, I could just feel I was being watched at, like, all moments of the day. And I had told a friend about it. And he recommended, he's very Catholic, and he had recommended putting up some crosses in my home. And he gave me a bottle of holy water. So in my door, I have a cross necklace and my front door. And then upstairs, I have a actual cross above my bed. One day, it was kind of like bare in here. So I was moving things around, trying to, you know, fill the wall space. I brought the cross from over my bed down here. And that night, I had a really realistic dream. I mean, probably the most realistic dream I've ever had in my life. And I don't dream that often, to be honest. My daughter was in the bed with me. And this dream was basically, I was in my bed, and somehow my tree from downstairs, I have this fake tree with lights on it. Not a Christmas tree, just a regular cute tree. And somehow it was in my room. And all of a sudden, I couldn't tell you what it was. I didn't, like, remember a face. To me, I think it was just black. Or I couldn't see it at all. And it had pulled me out of my bed. And I was on the floor, and I was scared as hell, obviously. And I just remember saying to myself, trying to say out loud, in God's precious name, you know, get this evil away from me. And I could not, for the life of me, every time I tried to say in God's, like, I could not say God. I could only say in. And basically, that's all I could remember from the dream. So I moved my cross back, obviously. And trying to think if anything else happened. Oh, yes. There was this one day. I worked 3 to 11 on the weekend. And so my daughter's father keeps her. And I remember one day I was just in here all of a sudden, and I just got, like, really, really, really angry out of nowhere. Just, like, it was crazy. It was like my body started seizing up. Like, I just got really, really hot, and all this anger just, like, took me over. And, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, Heather, grab the holy water. Like, this is your time. Grab it. So I haven't really done anything with holy water before. So it's kind of like, well, this is my shot. Like, I'm this angry. Just something in the back of my head kept telling me to grab that holy water. So I got up and I started screaming, like, on the top of my lungs. And I was, you know, throwing the holy water all over the place, praying, you know, saying things to get these, whatever it was, out of my place. And it was just so angry. Like, I can't even explain to you the anger I had. And I had got upstairs, and all of a sudden in my room, I just got, like, more angrier. And then all of a sudden, just kind of like when I was done with everything and I went back downstairs, I felt really calm and really, really peaceful. And to this day, I haven't really had too many episodes here. But my boyfriend does say some things. He's a little bit more in touch with everything. So he kind of feels energy. He feels people's emotions. It's kind of crazy how he has this ability, but he really believes in God. And he said to me the other night, he had slept over, and he said at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, he woke up because, like, he just felt something watching him. And he said, like, it did not want him in the room. Like, definitely did not want him in the room. And he was scared. So he, like, turned on all the lights, and he's looking around for everything to make sure he grabs everything.
That's where it stopped.
That's where it stops. I completely feel for her. I remember the first apartment I had, I moved out when my first marriage ended, and my oldest, Olivia, was a year and a half. So you feel very vulnerable, and then to feel like you've got paranormal things going on, I don't know what I would have done, but I do remember I had a fair amount of crosses in that apartment, but I don't think it was just... I think it was just more for decor, like not so much, you know, protection, but...
It was kind of a thing at the time.
It was at the time.
2004, 5, 6, it was a big thing with women our age.
This would have been 08.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely understand. And just that, you know, you feel so helpless. Yeah, so helpless, you know, just being on your own. And yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And I remember your crosses on your walls.
Yeah.
And I thought either she's really spiritual or she's keeping demons out.
Do you remember when we bought our Wichita house that they had like a cross over the bed, a cross over the front door?
They did.
They had a lot of crosses. And had I known... Then what I know now, I think I would have thought twice about that house.
You'd have red flagged it?
Yeah.
We had nothing there. But no, we didn't. I get that you would have red flagged it.
Yeah. No, I just think they were very spiritual. Mm-hmm. Which is great, but you know, having done the show for so long, if you have crosses over windows and doors and stuff, it's like, no, not gonna buy, I'm not buying this house.
In that decade, a decade is 10 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that decade, yeah. Yeah, you're an idiot. Translation. In that decade, it was not surprising from a male perspective to go into a woman's house, because obviously we started dating towards the end of that decade.
Yeah.
And I had a previous marriage and I had dated obviously other people in that decade as well. But there were several that had a lot of crosses, and they weren't really uber religious or anything like that, but it was a thing. I remember one that like even beat you on your crosses.
Oh, really?
In terms of she had a whole wall.
Yeah.
She was very Catholic though, but she had a lot of, it was like literally just like, holy shit, you're collecting crosses. Like nothing's coming into your house. but it was a very, I don't know. I mean, everywhere you went, I mean, you went into like Gordman's, you went into Pier One, you went into anything at the time.
I got all mine at Hobby Lobby at the
Hobby
time.
Lobby.
Before Hobby Lobby became such a politicized place, you know, this was just when it was a craft store, you know.
It was more at that time, it was the shiplap of the...
It was
the shiplap of the O's to 10. What is that even called? Because the teens, you get into the teens.
The aughts. The aughts.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, anything is the aughts.
I never knew that.
Yep.
I knew there was some name for it. So the aughts. In the aughts, crosses were the shiplap.
Yeah.
Everybody was putting crosses everywhere.
What is the new shiplap, do you think?
For the 20s?
Uh-huh.
Gosh, we are in the 20s now, aren't we?
We are.
So weird. Because we grew up thinking 1920s, and now we're welcome to the 20s. I don't know yet. I mean, we're in such a weird place because the 20s have been nothing but craziness thus far, and the world has not been able to adjust itself to normalcy. So,
masks.
Masks. But in terms of decor,
that was poor taste.
But people aren't. They aren't in that opened mindset yet of trends and stuff because everything just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of influencers and everything too, like television shows and all that, production has just stopped. So I don't know what it's going to be. We literally lost a year of the 20s so far. We'll probably end up losing 2 or 3 years total before we get to a normal point of trends being influenceable to the masses. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have an opinion on that?
I don't know. And that's why I asked you, because to me, shiplap is timeless because that's something that I saw in old homes when I was little, and I've always loved that.
Sure.
So that's not something that's ever going to go away. I don't see that as a trend. I know most people see that as a trend.
It was a reintroduction.
Yeah, it was. But as far as what you're going to see, you know, we had the Tuscan phase, and then we had the, you know, the decorative country crosses, and now we had the farmhouse phase. And I don't know what the next phase is going to be. Is
survival.
Survivalist. prepper phase. I don't know.
I think we're going back to basics. In many ways, I think you'll see, I don't know what that equates to, but I think you're going to have a lot of things going back to, you know how we got into this world of there's so many versions of everything? Mm-hmm. Like there's 50 versions of Doritos when you go to the store, or there's just like so many, like just excess. There was such excess. I think we're going to go back to a more simplistic way of things for a time being. The trends will change, things will change, and you'll have a generation in 10 years that has very little memory of the pandemic and this time period, other than they didn't go to school for a year, and you know, they'll deal with the repercussions of that mentally.
They're going to school. They're just not going to physical school.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids are going to physical school. It's just, you know, there's a lot of kids that are not. They're being virtual schooled. Well, and that's huge.
Well, and so many dynamics of childhood have changed for mm-hmm. that will have been adjusted for. Look at your childhood. Look at, I don't mean to keep going down the pandemic road, but it's something we're all dealing with. And I'm not doing a criticism thing, but imagine 2 to 3 years of your childhood, completely just, sorry, this is different.
Yeah.
And the dynamic of playing with other kids is different. The dynamic of everything is different. And you're going to have this generation of kids where 2 to 3 years of their life is dramatically different than the rest. Mm-hmm. And it will go back, but it's going to be a dramatic shift for many of them. So how does it affect it long term? And that's what, you know, we don't know yet, but
it's going to mess us all up. I'm going to be Debbie Downer. We're all going to be messed up after this.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be the same. I think our generation as parents, we're going to start very much identifying with the Depression era kids,
sure.
like our grandparents, the ones that grew up in the Depression, how they saved everything. We get that now.
And you know what? The way things were going, and in no way am I saying the pandemic's a wonderful thing, because it's not. But there almost needed to be some sort of a reset with kids in terms of appreciating things that people have. Because we got to a point there where it was just excess of everything. There was less appreciation of anything. And this has reset a lot of things, I think, in terms of some social things and what we have and what we don't have. And hopefully there will be, I'm trying to find some silver lining to this shit show. Maybe there'll be some positivity here where there'll be a reset of appreciation of things and not everything is available in endless amounts as we kind of got to.
I think what you're trying to say, and I don't want to reword what you're saying.
Please do.
I do need to. I think we're finding that simpler is sometimes better.
Yeah.
And we're finding that simpler life can sometimes be better, and that, you know, spending for us as a family, the way we've weathered this, you know, we're coming up on a year mm-hmm. where we've not had school as far as public school tradition, you know, get on the bus, get off yeah. the bus. You know, we've grown together. Mm-hmm. We've become a tighter unit. We have gotten to where we know when we do things that we have to keep in mind, this may be the last time we do something for a while. Mm-hmm. And a while may be a couple weeks or maybe 6 months.
Or a year or more.
Yeah. So, you know, it's taught our kids, I think, that appreciation. But I think, honestly, it's taught us to enjoy and take pleasure in the simpler things, because you can't take every day for granted.
And I don't know that there would have been that sort of reset in any other way, shape, or form, other than like war.
We are at war.
Which we're at the cusp of.
Well, no, we're at war with a virus.
We are. But I mean, physical war. But we are at war with the virus. You're right.
We're at war with the virus, but every bit as much as we're at war with anybody else, yeah. because this has taken as many lives as a war.
Sure. You're right.
And it's mutating and it's changing and it's becoming something that it was different. So it's almost got a, I won't say an intelligence, but there's a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing. So we have to constantly be on our edge. And so we are at war with the virus. And I know that, you know, that was something that was said by the previous president, you know, we're at war with the virus. That's one of the few things I agreed with him with. We are at war with this.
Yeah, and we are. And I don't know that we would be able to make these realizations without being forced.
Yeah.
And pushed into places that were uncomfortable. More than uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very, the understatement of the year. But without being there, I don't know that many of us would have kind of made some of these realizations otherwise. But I think when you look back in history, there's resets. There's many resets for all different things. Yeah. There's pandemics, there's wars, there's this or that. But they do tend to happen every 100-some years or so. Mm-hmm. And it kind of resets society a little bit. And I think we just happen to be living through one of them.
Yeah.
There's generations, our previous generations, some lived through it. There was kind of a middle area that didn't. And then we get, you know, the joy of it. And I say that extremely sarcastically. But, you know, if you can try and find any good out of this, that's kind of where I am. It's like, I'm sick of the negative, but it's there, but try and find some good. And if it ends up bringing families closer, then that's good.
It's brought my family closer because I didn't talk to my family for 4 years.
Sure.
And when COVID hit and I knew my family was high risk, we reevaluated the situation and what we had been through as a family and why we drifted apart and chose to not speak to each other. And, you know, we just celebrated one of the best. We called it a Thanksmas.
Yeah.
We did Thanksgiving and Christmas together. One of the best we've ever had.
And we should preface beforehand, all of us, it was your parents and us, and each of us sat in our homes by ourselves for 2 weeks prior.
We did.
Before actually intermingling the two of us together.
We quarantined just to make sure we were safe. My mom's a cancer patient. My dad is high risk because he's on oxygen. I have lung scarring from different illnesses and you have asthma. And, you know, it's just one of those things. None of us can afford to take the risk. And, you know, in the middle of all this, then we find out that my sister-in-law had COVID.
Yeah.
Thankfully, she pulled through.
It's one of those things where it makes you realize a lot of things or pushes you to realize a lot of things. And that's where we are as of December 14th of 2020 as we record this. This going out mid-January of 2021. So there you go.
Yeah.
That will wrap up our program for today. Thank you guys for listening, being a part of our lives and letting us be a part of yours. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. If you want to support us and keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.